Good Friday morning, folks. Welcome to another Friday roundtable discussion with Rebecca, Sherry, and myself here at Black Sheep Rebranded, where we are proud to be unique, stand up, stand out, be ourselves, to grow, to discuss, to learn, and to evolve. And we welcome each and every one of you to this Good Friday, March 29th, 2024. And before we dig into whatever the topic is that the ladies have decided we're going to talk about today, I want to reference something about Good Friday. Good Friday is, Palm Sunday is when, theologically, from the standpoint, Jesus was walking into Jerusalem, prepared for his death, and walked in knowing that, that this was going to be a bad thing. And so the Palm Sunday is the palms were thrown down on the ground and Jesus ended up walking on the palms. And it was the celebration of his return to Jerusalem. And I'm going to talk about something that y'all are going to go, wow, that's a huge stretch, Rick, but it's not. We live in an age where people do not want to take account for, hey, I'm screwed, or hey, I need help, or hey, something bad is happening. I want to bring you back to earlier this week when that cargo ship hit the bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. And y'all are going to go, what's this got to do with anything? A few of the facts that are not much actually portrayed or talked about in the news is a few really key and important details. The people on that ship knew that they were having mechanical problems. They knew that they were having difficulties. They knew that they were struggling. They called Mayday. And so for anybody who doesn't know or hasn't watched Mayday on TV or hasn't been part of, you call a Mayday when there is an imminent risk to life or property. And I've called a Mayday from a sailboat and truly, there was imminent risk. And so they called a Mayday. They asked for assistance from tugboats that were in the area to help guide them and direct them. The tugboats, they're not very fast. They're not ski boats. You're not going to get up to a huge speed. They weren't able to get there in time to actually redirect the ship away, obviously, because it did hit the bridge. But the point that I want to bring to the table here is that the people on the bridge of that boat, they did not worry about their egos. They did not worry about people pointing fingers at them. They did not worry about anything else first. What they first and foremost did is they reached out and said, we are in trouble. And because of that, all lanes to traffic were closed going over that bridge. And so there's this bit of footage from traffic cams that CNN has talked about, and they talk about how the police were able to close the lanes before that. But even in what they're talking about on CNN, they don't actually give the background, which is people on the ship were taking account and not lying to themselves about the reality of what's going on around them. And because of that, the bridge was closed. And if it hadn't been for that, there would have been an awful lot more loss of life and an awful lot more loss of people, because the bridge was open. People were driving across it. And the only reason why there wasn't more is because, just as Jesus, when he walked in and he said, hey, here's my future, not a problem. He wasn't crucified yet, but he knew what was going on. And he said, hey, I'm going to step up to that. And the people on the bridge of that boat, people should be celebrating and giving these people a good slap on the back, saying, hey, to go, boys, because the men and women who were there actually truly owned the situation and they didn't lie to themselves. And so again, on this Good Friday, you know what? We here at Black Sheep, man, I am the biggest screw up on the planet. I have screwed up more shit than you can shake a stick at. I have had more people stand in my way and tell me that, you know what, Rick, this isn't the destination. I've been told by people how much they hate me. And you know what? Cool. Rock on. Hate away. I don't really care. Why? Because you know what? As much of a screw up as I am, I'm going to do what I can do to make a difference in this world. And that is why Black Sheep Rebranded was created. And that is why you guys listen to this, because you guys want to make a difference in your life. And damn, absolutely. And so, not wanting to offend anybody, but amen to that. And in any other religion, again, hats off to you for standing up and trying to make a difference in the world. So, with that long verbiage done out of the way, and if anybody's wondering, today on this Good Friday, the only thing running through my veins is sugar and caffeine. And so, come on, ladies, bring this on. Let's see what we are going to chat about today. Who wants to tell me what the subject is?
Well, as you were just talking, and this may take us on a left turn, I don't know. I got the feeling that we should really be talking about gratitude and thankfulness. Thankfulness for that crew that called out the Mayday. Thankfulness to all that people do and try to make the world a better place. And what is gratitude?
I like that idea.
What is gratitude then, Rebecca? If you like the idea, bring it out.
It's being thankful for what you have, what's in front of you, what's around you.
It's something we don't do enough of, I think.
Well, just hold on here. Okay, so I talked about a ship hitting a bridge, wiping it out, and gratitude. Mm-hmm. Okay, so where's the gratitude for the crew on the bridge of that ship? Where's the gratitude for the folks in the engine room or wherever they were having the difficulties? Where do you think they're feeling gratitude?
That they recognized ahead of time that they were having trouble.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, keep going.
And that they had the
courage.
The courage to actually call out that they needed help.
Yes.
And that somebody answered.
And they rose above their pride. They were great. They tried to help their common man, their fellow man. It wasn't all about them.
Mm-hmm. Which is very rare in today's day and age, I think.
Well, okay, but just hold on here. But is it? Let's go to Sully Sullivan, the man himself, who sucked up birds into twin engines in the U.S. Airways plane. And they said, hey, just hold on here. What about this? What about that? And he landed the plane on the Delaware and saved everybody on board.
Oh, wow.
Now, there were people in the back of that plane who wanted to open up the rear doors of that plane. And flight attendants lost their living minds going, no, 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 you can't. Well, it's the nearest exit. We have to get out. No, you will flood the plane. And if you ever go back and look at images of that again. So, hey, people on the plane, notice where your nearest emergency exit is. Go to it. But not always.
And there's another example of where we should be grateful for people with the presence of mind who didn't panic and actually took a look at the situation and reacted to the situation rather than the panic.
Wow. Makes you wonder how you'd react in that situation.
Well, I've never been on a plane that's landed on the river, but I have been in a few situations.
Yes, you have.
And I know that typically I actually don't say an awful lot, but I do a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's maintaining your cool.
Oh, maintaining the real, the honesty. And again, going back to Good Friday, Palm Sunday, the real, the honesty. I'm walking in here. Y'all want to crucify me and y'all want to throw me on a cross and you want to torture me. You want to kill me. Okay, I'll show up for that.
And why?
Yeah, interesting. Like, as soon as I put it that way, right? You know, again, you know, like, people, honestly, when I say that people have hated me, people have told me I'm the devil, people have told me how horrible I am, people have sent me hate mail, my family, because, again, what have I done? I've shown up. Mm-hmm. I've shown up. You want to crucify me? Crucify me. You do whatever it is you need to do. But I'm going to tell you, on this Holy Week, Crucify me. I don't care. Why?
You're doing the right thing.
I'm trying. I haven't always.
But you're trying to do the right thing.
I've always tried to do the right thing, but again, not always.
And irrespective of the outcome, you can feel peace in knowing that you are trying to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
And that, I wonder, is what... I'm just sitting here thinking, so, but the wheels are turning pretty hard in the brain here. Is that what was going through Jesus's head as he walked into town? I'm doing the right thing. Whatever happens, happens.
Well, and again, if you go to the biblical story, right, the right thing was, I'm walking in here, and yeah, there might be people who are happy to see me, but are they going to be so happy in a few days? Are they going to be so happy to be there?
But at the same time, he did not run away.
No.
He faced the music, so to speak. Wow. So he can have peace. And those of us who are looking at this story, it doesn't matter what the religion is. I mean, it's just about doing the right thing.
And quite honestly, that's what a lot of these stories, like, you know, you take the fable of the scorpion and the frog, and the scorpion wants to get across the river, and the says to the frog, hey, can I jump on your back there and you swim me across the river? I got to get to the other side. And the frog says, no way. You're a scorpion, man. You're going to sting me. And the scorpion says, no, why would I do that? Middle of the river, man, I sting you. I'm going to die too. I can't swim. That's why I need a ride. And the frog and the scorpion go back and forth for a bit. And then the frog says, well, I guess it makes a bit of sense. Like, why would you commit suicide? So the scorpion jumps on the frog's back, starts swimming across the river. Lo and behold, scorpion stings the frog. As they're both going underwater, frog says to the scorpion, what the hell? I don't get it. I am what I am. I'm sorry, man. I felt the urge and I stung you. I am what I am. And this is one of these beautiful things where I think that in the story, which again, we weren't there, folks. We were not there a few thousand years ago. So we are going by what we believe to be an account of the story. But the account of the story is that, there was a few people who were not too happy with Jesus. And so they were like, hey, you know what? We're going to put you to death. And he was like, hey, you know what? I've reasoned it out in my head. I've thought about it, kind of like the frog did. And Jesus went, you know what? Jump on. Let's see where this goes. I'm pretty sure where it's going to go, but I'm going to throw caution to the wind and I'm going to do my best. And the frog did his best and the scorpion did what the scorpion did. And Jesus was put on a cross. And I think that there's so many beautiful fables, so many beautiful stories that we do not tell anymore because we are so caught up in looking at screens and we are so caught up in all kinds of other stuff. And we don't have that human connection to teach these stories and these ideas to kids. And so many times, we are lost. And so, when you take the Sully Sullivan or you take, the Bridge Crew, guaranteed this is going to get turned into a movie. Mm-hmm. Like guaranteed, right? They're going to turn this into a movie. And I guarantee you that the Bridge Crew and the entire crew of that ship, including the pilot, the captain pilot who was on board. And if you've ever been on a cruise ship, you ever, watch things, pilots are local pilots to navigate into and out of because they know the water, they know the tides, they know the currents, they know what's going on. And so they make these decisions to make sure that they can negotiate these ships into and out of port safely. And people want to do a million bits of pointing, but you know what? It's just kind of like the Challenger disaster. The Challenger disaster came down to an O-ring, one O-ring. And that O-ring caused a $1 billion disaster and the loss of a lot of people's lives. One O-ring. And you know what? This is going to come down to some foolish little thing too, where it was like, damn, it's called an accident. But the most beautiful part of that is that people went, hey, you know what? Let's learn from it. Humanity's going to want to persecute, just like they did with Jesus. And humanity's going to want to be a bunch of assholes about it. Yes, I just said the word assholes. Because they're going to want to. They're going to want to throw sticks and stones, and they're going to want to point fingers, and they're going to want to sound godly and like they know all this beautiful stuff. But at the end of the day, truly, truly, folks, seriously here, listen up. At the end of the day, it's an accident. It is clear by all navigational aids that were in place at the time, radar positioning of the ship, steerage, smoke coming out of the stack, these people were struggling. They knew it. And they called to the port authority. They did what they could do as quickly as possible to say, hey, we are in trouble and it does not look good. We are not crystal balls here. We do not have the fortune to look ahead and know exactly what's going to happen, but it is not looking good here, folks. And that was Jesus walking in, tiptoeing across on those palm leaves.
Mm-hmm. And they minimized the loss of life. They did the right thing. And I think that movie that you say may come, and I can see it coming, again, is going to portray doing the right thing despite the odds.
But, you know, the movie for Sully Sullivan, for that U.S. Airways flight, again, people tried to point fingers and tried to say he didn't do what he should have done. And they're like, well, you should have turned back to LaGuardia. You should have turned back to O'Hare. You shouldn't, or not O'Hare. O'Hare's in Chicago. But you should have turned back. You should have landed on land. That's what you should have done. Because, again, that's what people want to do, is they want to sit back and they want to be armchair quarterbacks. And they want to, oh, so you screwed up there in that 0.2 of a second. We've had 4 months to think about it. And we've had 7 times to run it through a simulation. And we've had the time to run it through simulations with 20 different people. We have all this time. And so now we're going to second guess the hell out of you. And this is one of the problems with humanity, people. Mm-hmm. We don't celebrate difference. We don't celebrate all kinds of things that we should celebrate. And one of the things that we should be celebrating is, again, the fact that, like, whether it be, you know, you want to believe in the story of Jesus and the crucifixion, believe it or not. Want to believe the story of the scorpion or the frog, believe it or not. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, what do people always want to do? They want to armchair quarterback, point fingers, say, see, I know more than you. I'm smarter.
Instead of learning. And earlier, before we started this podcast, Rebecca brought up a good point. Back when she was younger, they read stories in the morning. They were stories about what was good, what you should do, how life should be. And we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, the reason why we don't is because of what I just said. If you do the right thing, Sully Sullivan did the right thing. Not one person lost their life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Their luggage may have got a little bit waterlogged, but not one person.
Right.
And yet, what did they want to do? Second guess every single thing that he did and criticize every single thing that he did instead of going, huh, can we learn from this? Without. Mm-hmm. But no, they want to tear it apart. They wanted to say, no, you could have saved the aircraft. The savings of life. If one person had died, it would have been, well, wow, he was amazing. But no, everybody lived. So then they're like, well, you should have saved the aircraft too.
Mm-hmm. Instead of being grateful for what he did do. And in those moments of decision-making, he chose life over all the people, not even just the people on the plane, but if he had landed on land, who knows who would have been killed as well? What other destruction would there have been? He made a decision he couldn't make it to an airport.
And he weighed the consequences of his decision, I bet.
Sure he did. Absolutely.
And that's consequentialism.
Yep.
Why don't we read about this? Why don't we study it?
Because if you did, then you would realize that there are times that things are going to go badly. And oh, God forbid that that's going to happen. you're going to realize at times people are going to screw up and there's going to be a limitation to the person. And again, God forbid that's going to happen. No, no, no. We're going to say that this is going to be unbelievable, that this is going to be terrific. And God forbid that no, that there be a bad outcome.
And it's always somebody else's problem. So we never have to learn from someone else's mistakes because it's never our problem. That's what I'm seeing in the world too much these days.
But what they also will do is, as they did with Sully, is they try to crucify. They try to throw you on the cross because you did something that they can't do. You made decisions quicker. You made decisions better. You did something that they're like, oh, shit. No, we got to find a problem with that because it's beyond what we can do. And oh my good God, the human ego, it tried to take out Jesus, and apparently it didn't work because, a few days later he rolled out of the cave and said, hey, y'all, be good. See you at Christmas.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing.
But it's true.
The image in my head going through with that. But oh, yeah.
No, absolutely. No.
Yeah, what you say is right.
Y'all want to take me out? Sure, go ahead, take me out. I'm good. Y'all want to torch me? I'm good.
Because I can rest peacefully in my mind knowing that I did the right thing.
Tried
to do the right thing, yes.
Again, I'm going to go back to my mom's funeral, right? I videotaped it so that I could send it to her sister in California who could not make the funeral, who could not make the journey, who was not able to be there. I videotape it. We take some photos. We put it onto a flash drive. We send the flash drive out to Oregon. And so that her daughter can sit down with her and play it with her. And so, so that a near 90-year-old lady could see because she didn't see it live, right? It was live fed. So again, and so that she would have a copy of it so that she could go back and see it whenever she wants. And for that, I was actually thrown under, oh my God, who the hell does that? You disgusting human being. I actually got an email to that effect there, folks. And I think it's so funny that I did, because that just goes to show how stupid people are. Mm-hmm. If you're doing something that's different, if you're doing something that's better, if you're doing something that may put, a leader, you come up with an idea. I was talking to a guy there last week about welding. Here's a weird one. The guy hasn't been welding for very long. And he's like, I think this is a better way to actually do this weld. Doing it on really thin metal, really, really thin metal. And metal warps like a beggar when you put heat to it, folks. And so, again, and he came up with a way that he thought was better and quicker. Other people who worked there were like, wow, man, that's amazing. Absolutely. Hats off to you. High five. Somebody who's been doing the job for 30-some, 40 years? Whatever. Can't congratulate, can't celebrate it, can't do that. Why?
Pride.
Absolutely. And pride is such a bitch. And that is, again, so go back to the age of Jesus, go back before then, go back. I read an article this week about some canoes that were dugout canoes that were found in the Mediterranean. And different types of wood that were used for these dugout canoes. But every single one of them had stuff attached to them so that they could put sails on them so that they could actually use them for true navigation. And they dated these things to many thousands of years before Common Era. And that, again, wow. So we sit here and we go with our arrogance and we go, well, no, we just know that now.
And that's interesting because, I mean, I follow the Oak Island mystery and I follow a little bit of the Facebook stuff on that. And so for anyone who doesn't know, they believe that back in the 13, 14, 1600s, we don't know exactly the dates, people dug tunnels down over 100 feet deep under the island to bury treasure. And so they called searchers and depositors tunnels. Anyway, people online are like, oh my gosh, did they have the technology back then to dig down 100 feet? And I look and I go, of course they did. It's different than today, but they did it.
The evidence is right in front of you, folks.
We've taken a lot more sweat power.
Ah, people don't like to work hard today.
No, they don't.
And I think maybe you're right. They've got this tunnel vision. People today say, because you can't do it. They couldn't do it the way we do it today. They couldn't have done it.
But they could still do it. They would have found a way.
And they used their brains.
They used physics. They used levers. They used leverage. And they used raw materials. We use raw materials now. We just form them into things.
Mm-hmm. We add mechanization to everything. But there was a time not too long ago when everything wasn't about a motor. I know that's kind of scary, but it's true.
But even if you look at some of the alloys, right? And alloy, for folks, is just simply a combination of materials that gives you something that's hard. So, you know, alloys can be steel, aluminum, stainless, you know, bronze, whatever. And it's just a combination. So if you add sulfur to iron, then the iron is more malleable. It's not as brittle. And so, again, when they are testing these things on Oak Island, they're going back. And so, you know, when I was going to school for millwright and machinist, you know, studying metallurgy and alloying of different base components, you know, you add chromium to something and it makes it a little bit shinier. It makes it a little bit more resistant because chromium's quite hard. And again, chromium is an element. And it's an ore, and it's added to metals, and it's added to things to, again, create a tougher, shinier element. And so these are, again, the things where, you know, we seem to think that today we have it all together. No. But more importantly, how did we evolve for thousands of years? Electricity is the real big game changer for humanity. It's not alloying because, you know, they were learning how to do that and forging. They were learning to do that long for electricity. Electricity and the power generation using the generator, using magnets and something revolving around, right, to create electric field. That's the big game changer for humanity. It wasn't the wheel. People say it was the wheel. But no, the real true big game changer is electricity.
I would agree with that for sure. It's done two things. It's moved us forward in terms of what we can do, but I'm looking at it sometimes and I think it's made us more close-minded to other options.
Absolutely. Because again, if I can't do it, no one can do it. And so that takes you back to Good Friday. Jesus could do stuff other people couldn't do. So it's like, we got to put that boy to death. Come on, round him up. He's making us look bad. That's not good. Nuh-uh. That's not good. And again, you look at so many things in history. If you make somebody look bad and they have a little tiny bit more power over you, whew, my goodness, that is just going to be a slam dunk for a bad, bad day for you. And so again, instead of humanity learning, and that's, to me, that is the story of Easter. And that is why it is so important to me in therapy and why we do what we do around Easter for people showing up. Because, again, rebirth is massive. It's huge. It's so important. But that means that you are often sticking your neck out because you are saying to people who are above you, I have found something that you have not. And if their ego or their pride or their sense of themselves is the slightest bit weak, a little tiny bit, they will crucify the shit out of you. And quite frankly, folks, that's lots of people I know. Lots and lots of people I know. You succeed, which again, Jesus succeeded. Sully Sullivan succeeded. The crew on that ship succeeded. They succeeded in preventing more loss of life because they stepped up. We know something and we are aware. And so somebody made a split second decision on the bridge of that ship. And if you look at video, you will see black, black coal pouring out that stack. And that's actually not coal, folks. It's actually diesel fuel. And the black is actually creosote that's unburnt diesel fuel. But, you know, again, let's skip the science and let's just go to the coal that was pouring out of the stack of that ship. You could see at times, man, they are throttling that baby up to everything they have.
They're trying to stop it. They're trying to do the right thing.
I'm going to throw out one more interesting fact. Some super tankers, and I only know this from watching it on TV, watching, you know, Mighty Ships. Some super tankers cannot go in reverse.
Really?
Yep. Their engines only turn forward.
Okay.
And so when they get to port, they have to have tugboats. And so this freighter obviously could go in reverse. But again, just think about that for a second, folks. The engine can only turn the propeller in one direction. It cannot actually reverse because you need a transmission and a gearbox because the engine is only going to turn in one direction. So to reverse the propeller means that either the propeller itself, you have to have a variable pitch and you have to be able to control it, or you need a gearbox. And then that needs to stop the propeller and then put it in reverse. So it's not like the Titanic movie, folks, where we'll stuff the engines and then get her going, the engines backwards. No, internal combustion engine's only going to turn in one direction. And so the gearbox does not exist and there's no variable pitch. And so therefore it only turns propeller forward. And so again, there is so much out there that we do that is like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is right.
And I've heard so many times, and I mean so many times, oh, this bridge was built in 77. It wasn't designed for this, wasn't that, blah, 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 all this other stuff. Yeah, well, we won't put a tugboat with it going in and out. We won't do that. You know why we won't do that? Because that's going to cost money.
Mm-hmm. And it comes right back to money.
So, no, it comes back to ego.
Ego, yes.
Right? Because if we spend money, then I get less paycheck. Port of Goderich. Love it. Sail out of it every summer. That's where the sailboat is, folks. Love being up there. Love being up in Huron County. Can't wait to move there. But again, freighters come and go. Lots of times escorted by by tugs. Why? Not because the ships have bow thrusters. Some of them have stern thrusters. Some of them have vector thrusting. They have all kinds of things to ensure their ability. But because the entrance is so narrow, if they had an engine failure, they want a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they put a tug out there. They don't put lines on it. The tug is there simply to push.
Redirect.
And so what do? They used to have three. Now they're down to one big tug. But again, the fact is that the tug is fast enough, powerful enough, one single tug. So again, cutting costs, but the entrance is so narrow coming in and out, and the winds can be so strong, and you know, there is movement of the water, believe it or not. There it's not like actually a river or something like that, but the Great Lakes do have current within them and they do have movement. And so, but again, you know, they go, hey, you know what? Safety.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be ahead of that curve just a little tiny bit. So the Port Authority of Goderich has a tug. And they go out there and they do what it is that they need to do. And why wasn't that being done? Those should be the questions that are being asked. Because again, you know, they've said if the bridge was built today, the span between the upright supports for the span that the ship went under would have been much farther apart because of the size of ships to take into account navigational challenges and or engine failure. And so if you knew that, between 77 and now, why wouldn't you evolve? But we don't. And again, why don't we? Because then we have to admit that, wow, we weren't ahead of that curve. And so again, go back to Jesus. Nobody wants to admit, hey, by the way, this guy maybe knows something and maybe we should, you know, pay some attention.
We need to learn to accept and evolve, listen to what's going on around us and adapt. Nobody likes to change. And our egos get in the way all the time and hold us back from changing.
That is so true, Sherry. And it's sad because, well, everything changes and we need to stay ahead of the curve and change with the times.
Learn from those around us.
And swallow your pride.
Absolutely. It's too easy to get caught.
And change direction too.
And be grateful for those that are doing, are leading the way, and they're making, taking it upon themselves to make decisions, and we can learn from them. We can watch and see what happens. Those who are brave enough to do the right thing, try to do the right thing.
But you know, the beautiful thing is, and folks, this isn't anything about, there will be people who will say, oh, Rick, that's about your pride. No, I have just witnessed way too many times personally, and I've witnessed way too many times by witnessing it directly in various workplaces, that somebody has a good idea and the good idea is really just completely and absolutely shot down because of the position that the person holds, or because of their lack of time with the company. And so it's absolutely shot down. And again, we can't necessarily investigate every single idea that's thrown out there. And some ideas that are thrown out are ridiculous. But what we have to do is we have to understand and investigate instead of just absolutely. And I think that's one of the, you know, going back to the Oak Island story that that you were talking about, Sherry, you know, one of the things that they always say is we have to investigate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't accept it based on past beliefs. Learn from the science. Learn from what is out there. Don't think you know it all.
I laughed my ass off a year and a half ago sitting down for breakfast with some folks and we're talking about real estate and so on. And they said, what's your idea? And I was pausing to think about, did I actually want to share my idea? Did I want to share my solution or not? And I didn't. And I didn't share my, and, you know, because the answer didn't come fast enough. Ha, see, you don't even know. And it's like, no, actually, I do have a really good idea. But you know what? Yeah, you just proved to me why I don't want to share it. Because why am I going to share an idea that the first and foremost thing I have to overcome is your ego? And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, Jesus went, you know what? Hey, y'all got some ego. Y'all don't want to look at the proof around you. There is a better way. There is good things. Being kind to people, helping people out. There is. But again, guess what? You don't know. See, you're an idiot. No, I chose to shut up and I chose to not share. Because why am I going to want to overcome somebody's ego first and foremost?
Mm-hmm. And too often, good people get shut down and don't share good ideas because they don't want to deal with somebody else's ego.
Got to have the open mind, folks.
Got to take a chance. Do the right thing.
It's funny, practicums that I've had for doing this very job, for being a social worker. I could tell story after story after story of people with closed minds who, you know, I would prove something, truly prove something of what could be done to reframe, to re-examine, to look at things differently. I could prove it. And then they would persecute me because they were embarrassed, because they didn't know.
They didn't think of it first.
And with that, what do you think, Rebecca? What are your words? What are your, throw out your words on this redirection that, you know, and honestly, folks, we did have another idea we were going to chat around, and then, you know, Sherry decided to make a left turn, then a right turn, and then come to a, you know, T intersection, decide we're going to go forward. We're all right through the ditch. I don't know. So again, so Rebecca, we went in a different direction. What do you think of what we've just discussed? What's going through your head? Because I know there is lots of words in there.
I think that it takes real courage to actually stop and think and react appropriately in situations and not let peer pressure get to you.
Is peer pressure also inside your own brain? Can peer pressure be considered to be pride?
Yes.
Ego?
I think so. And I know for myself, I need to take more time and actually think about situations and not let my pride get in the way. I need to redirect myself. I can admit that.
and I need to sit and not waste time, but I need to open my mind to other possibilities. At times I do get that tunnel vision. And remembering that we learn from the cumulative exposure to other things, and that one way is not always the right way. There can be other ways of doing things. As my mom used to say, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Kind of disgusting, but true. I've heard that too many times in my life as well. And talking about cats, what we'll do here is we'll get Rebecca to put up. I just took a couple pictures of Pumpkin, who's sitting here at my feet while we're doing this podcast. And so for everybody who's interested to see what Pumpkin looks like, we'll show you what a pumpkin pie kitty looks like. Anyhow, be good. Hey again, folks, it's Rick Sherwood from Black Sheep Rebranded on my caffeine and sugar high that continues. Hopefully y'all have learned, listened, thought, will continue to grow based on these podcasts. And again, for most importantly, Pumpkin, our little kitty, one of our little kitties sitting here hanging out. And so for Pumpkin, for Miss Rebecca, Miss Sherry, and the lunatic himself, Rick Sherwood, we welcome you, we invite you, and we thank you for tuning in to Black Sheep Rebranded. Have yourselves an absolutely wonderful Good Friday. We will be back chatting with you again on Easter Monday, and we will share, gosh only knows what, but we will share something that will hopefully add to your life. So everybody, enjoy, be safe. We'll chat soon.